الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. The talk that we will be giving now is regarding the Sahaba and the view of those deviant groups regarding the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before we get into the topic in earnest, it's important that we have to lay down certain principles or fundamentals by which we can understand this topic. The first of which is that the division in this ummah into different groups, and some of these groups, or the majority of them, being deviating from the truth, is something affirmed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us in a number of ahadith that his ummah would divide into 73 groups. 72 of them would be destined to the hellfire, and only one would be destined to paradise. And when questioned as to their identity, the Prophet ﷺ responded that they were those who were upon what he was upon and his companions. So that deviation was to occur in this ummah is something which the Prophet ﷺ forewarned. And indeed, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that we would follow the path and the ways of those who came before us, such that even if somebody from the previous nations was to have sexual relations with his mother publicly in the road, there would come somebody from this ummah who would do the same. So all the deviation and corruption, whether in beliefs or in worship or in conduct, that one finds among the previous people who followed their prophets, one finds in this ummah certain people who have followed that. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified that group which was going to obtain salvation as ma ana alaihi wa ashabi, those who are upon that which he was upon and his companions. And this is in confirmation of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his book. For Allah in the Quran has said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, that he who splits off from the messenger after guidance has come to him, ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين, and he follows other than the believer's path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two matters: splitting off from the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after guidance comes unto you, and following other than the believer's path. Who is the believer's path? Obviously refers to first and foremost the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions. نُوَلِّيهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, we will keep him in the direction which he has selected. وَنُصْلِيهِ جَهَنَّمَ, and we will burn him in hell. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and what an evil end. So in this ayah in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that those who split off from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after guidance has come to them, so in other words, they know that they're splitting off, it's not out of ignorance or out of not being informed, and they follow other than the believer's path, other than the path of the companions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has commanded us, اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, guide us to the straight path. And He has told us this straight path is صِرَاطُ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those who He has blessed. Who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless? It was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So therefore, guidance cannot be divorced, cannot be separated from following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions. For it is they who have conveyed unto us the Prophet ﷺ's religion. The Qur'an, how do we know the Qur'an to be the words of Allah ﷺ? It was the Sahaba who transmitted to us the Qur'an. And that is why if you look at any mushaf, at the back of any mushaf, you will find at the back there will be something written saying that this mushaf is, the text has been written according to the narration or the recitation of so and so, from who took it from so and so, who took it from these are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who took this from the Messenger of Allah, who took this from Jibreel, who took it from Allah. This is in every single mushaf printed in the world. And of course, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one will find in any book of hadith, whether Bukhari or Muslim or other than that, you will find chains of narrations where the authors mention from whom did they take those narrations, from whom did they take those narrations, finally ending up from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran and the sunnah were conveyed unto us by the Messenger of Allah's sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions of Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised these companions often in the Quran. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised them in many of his narrations. Among the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the companions, Allah's statement in Surah Al-Fath, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is pleased with those who gave you allegiance underneath the tree. And there were 1,400. And this bay'ah refers to when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was heading out to make Umrah, and the mushrikun prevented him from making Umrah. And it was, the concern was that it was going to break out into some sort of altercation, some sort of fighting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took a bay'ah from his companions that they would stay firm until death. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah is pleased with those who gave you bay'ah underneath the tree and gave you this oath on the tree. And Allah knows what's in their hearts. So in other words, if Allah knew what's in their hearts, it means that their words when they gave this oath are true. They're not something which they have just said, but in their hearts they don't hold that, but rather these are true. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق قبل الفتح وقاتل, that they are not equivalent, those who spent their money and fought before the conquest of Mecca. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا, that they who spent and fought before have a greater reward, a greater degree, higher degree than those who spent and fought afterwards. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning both parties, those who spent and fought before and those who spent and fought after the conquest of Mecca. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and each party Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised al-husna, the good. What is al-husna? Paradise. So this is a promise from Allah azza wa jalla, that He promised those who spent and fought before the conquest of Mecca, they entered into Islam, and those afterwards, after the conquest of Mecca, He promised them all paradise. So this is again another praise of them. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many narrations also praised the companions of his, and has told us of their many hadith about their virtues and their merits. And for this reason, the people of the Sunnah, those who follow what the Prophet ﷺ was upon, among their principles is that their hearts are free from any hatred towards the Prophet's companions. And likewise, their tongues are free from any sort of ill-speaking concerning the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, the Prophet ﷺ has said in a hadith, do not insult my companions, for by he who in his hand is my soul, meaning by Allah, if any of you were to spend like Uhud mountain in gold, it would not be equivalent to what is given in food charity, half a handful or a handful of food in charity. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is making a difference between the people and his companions in two matters. First of all, in what is given, because he says, well, if you were to give like the mountain of Uhud in gold, and here if they were to give, meaning of food, whether it's a handful or half a handful. And likewise in quantity, the mountain of Uhud versus a handful. So this shows the great difference between the Prophet's companions and us. And so therefore, the people of the Sunnah, they recognize this, they do not speak ill about any of the companions based upon this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, they recognize that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiallahu anhum, are of different degrees. They're different levels. For this reason, they put forward, as Allah mentioned in the ayah, which I mentioned, those who fought and spent before the conquest of Mecca, which is reckoned at the bay'ah, which was given at Al-Hudaybiyah. And likewise, they put as a group, they put the Muhajirun to the Ansar, because Allah in the Quran mentioned the Muhajirun, and then He mentions the Ansar. And likewise, they say that the best of the companions are the people who fought at Badr, who were 313 or 315. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah said, looked at them and forgave them all their sins and said, do what you want, for Allah has forgiven you. Now, and likewise, they recognize, for instance, the special rank of those 10 who the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that they were in paradise. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Bakr is in paradise, Umar is in paradise, Uthman is in paradise, Ali is in paradise. And he mentioned 10 of his companions, Talha and Zubayr and Sa'd and Sa'id and Abu Ubaidah. So these were from the 10 companions of the Messenger of Allah that were mentioned in this one hadith. And they say the best of the companions is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. As has been confirmed upon Ali himself, radiallahu anhu, and as the evidences from the Sunnah point to. And at the same time, they love the Prophet's family. And they recognize the rights of the Prophet's family, because the Prophet's family are not only from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also because they have an additional right that they are related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they recognize the right of them, and they also recognize the rights of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the wives of the Prophets are not only from his companions, but also they have the right of being his wives. And they are ummahat al-mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. And they reject the way of those who speak ill about the Prophet's companions. And likewise, they recognize that the Prophet's companions were not prophets. I mean, for instance, the Christians now. The Christians refer to the companions of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam as apostles, as messengers. And they consider them to be free of any sin or error. The Christians, they had a problem in their belief. When the Christians raised Isa alayhi salam to the position of being Lord, so they need now a messenger. So they took his companions and made them apostles, messengers. And that's why they believe, for instance, that the Pope is infallible, because they said he inherits from what they had inherited from. But the Muslims, we do not consider the Prophet's companions to be infallible, free from sin or fault. But rather what we say is that if any mistake did proceed from it, that mistake is nothing compared to all the good deeds that they have. And that concerning what arose from them in differences of opinion that led to fighting between them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say that these matters, they were exercising their ijtihad. They are between 2 and 1 rewards. And that they're forgiven from Allah Azza wa Jal for their faults, and therefore they only speak well about them, because what they possess from knowledge and good deeds and jihad and giving and spending and so forth cannot be compared to anything which of faults can be attributed to them, if it should be found amongst them any fault. Now, we want to, with this understanding, we want to now come to the issue of the different groups and what they say regarding the Prophet's companions. In general, all of the astray groups, all the groups except for the people who follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, have a problem with the Prophet's companions in one way or the other. The most severe of them, of course, is what we know as the Shia. And the Shia are different groups and different sects. Because they're known in the Ummah for actually reviling the Prophet's companions, and insulting them, and attacking them. And accusing them, especially the majority of the Shia, which are the 12 or the Imami Shia, of that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, with the exception of 5 or 6, after the Prophet's death, all apostated from the religion of Islam. And by saying this, I mean, if you're just to take this at face value, it would mean what? It would mean that the Prophet ﷺ had failed in his message. Because if the Prophet ﷺ was with people for 20 odd years, teaching them. Some of them he married. Some of them married his daughters. They were related with him. They fought with him. They lived with him. He taught them. He was in charge of them for 20 years and so on. Then after, as soon as he dies, With the exception of five or six, they all decide to leave what he was upon. That means, right? That just based upon just on the basis of just face value, that the Prophet ﷺ would have failed in his message. And this, of course, is unbelief. Nobody can accept that. Because the reality is that Islam has spread everywhere. And the Prophet ﷺ is the most successful of any person calling to anything in the history of humanity. So this is obviously a contradiction, which you can't have it on both ways. Likewise, the implication of this would be that our sources of our religion, by which we define Islam by, and we worship Allah through, the Quran, the Sunnah, we would have to cast doubts and aspersions to that. Because if it is these people who gave to us, who transmitted this to us, were themselves not upon the truth of the faith of Islam, then how can we be certain of what they have given to us is that they conveyed it truthfully? Especially if they are to say that they have apostate, they left the religion of Islam. So then we would have doubts regarding the Quran, and we'd have doubts regarding the Hadith. So the Shia are the most extreme of all groups in terms of the reviling of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, I'm not going to spend time now to recite or relate what the Shia say about the companions, because I think this is something which we shouldn't, repeat. There's no need to do this. We're aware of their attacking of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and that suffices us to understand that this is a very evil group and very evil belief and very evil statements. In fact, if any person has this type of belief that all the companions of the Prophet ﷺ have apostated, with the exception of four or five or six or ten, this is in itself an act of disbelief. And this in itself leads a person to fall out of Islam. Now, the other groups also have problems with the Prophet's companions. And I'd like to bring out here, for the value, two groups point out. I mean, I don't want to go through all the different sects because, first of all, we don't have much time, and also because I want to just focus on those groups which are widespread and have quite a much of influence in our time and so forth. We talked about the Shia. Now, obviously, the Shia are very widespread. They have a country, a state, which publishes millions of books to their beliefs. They also have people which go around the world and preach their beliefs. They have millions of followers. And so this is obviously a very big tribulation and trial for the Muslims. Now, another group of people which also has a position concerning the Prophet's companions are those groups or sects which have been influenced by Greek thought, especially when it comes to matters of belief. You find among these groups, among some, like for instance, like the Ash'aris and others, that they have a principle. They say that the way of the Salaf, meaning the way of the companions, regarding matters of belief, matters of the unseen, while it is safer to follow their way, the way of those who came after them, the Khalaf, is more knowledge, has more knowledge and more wisdom. They say, to summarize their beliefs, because their beliefs concerning, for instance, Allah's attributes, or concerning Qadr, or concerning other matters of Aqidah, you cannot find any of the Prophet's companions, or even the second generation, or the third generation, espousing any of these beliefs. So there's a problem here. How do they come with some beliefs which neither the Prophet ﷺ talked about, nor did Abu Bakr, nor did Umar, nor did Uthman, nor did Ali radiallahu anhu, nor did the Tabi'in, nor did the Atba'a Tabi'in? How can they now bring this into agreement? So they said, well, the way of the Salaf, yes, it's sounder, it's a safer way. Not to say what we're saying, but the way of the later generation has more wisdom and more knowledge in it. Now this in itself is a very serious statement. Because what it means is that they are saying that their understanding of the religion is better than the understanding of the Prophet's companions. And that they have the ability to delve into issues which the Prophet's companions could not delve into. And for this reason, they permit for themselves to enter into lots of speculative issues regarding matters of belief. So for instance, they do not accept Allah's attributes literally as mentioned in the Quran, the Hadith, but rather they say they're figurative. And concerning different aspects of belief, they have their positions, which is really not a place to delve into at this time. So this is a second group of people, which are very widespread. A third group of people have been influenced by the Shia and this group of people, but without them realizing that they've been influenced by it. And this is what you would call now the modernist movement. The modernist movement is not a sect as the traditional sects are, in the sense that they have a person who founded the beliefs and they have books and so forth, but rather it's a hodgepodge of ideas and thoughts from different groups and different sects and so forth. And basically, its main undercurrent to it is the notion that in order for Islam to be valid, we have to sort of make it more contemporary. In other words, we have to sort of take the teachings of Islam and sort of, you know, make it like a catch up with the 21st century now, huh? So this is the basic thing. So they feel the pressure of living in the contemporary world, and how do you stick firm upon the past and deal with this? So they've been influenced by a lot of these ideas concerning the Shia, by the Shia, and also by the other groups. And so basically, while they might not speak ill of the companions, in the sense they will not maybe revile the Prophet's companions, but they look to the understanding of the Islam by the Prophet's companions as to be a faulty understanding. And that's why to them issues like when you say, well, this is the ijma', this is the consensus of the Prophet's companions, they don't think this is, means anything to them. And they say, we're men and they're men. There's no difference between us and them. And some of them will even go to the point saying, we understand what they don't understand. We know contemporary chemistry and physics and what have you and so forth, and these people were unaware of it. They were in the 1400 years ago. How could they know these matters?